Yeah, today is Palm Sunday, as Kelly said, and we're beginning to celebrate Holy Week, and it's also the end of our campaign. So it's the beginning of spring break for our school district, and so it's a lot of chaotic things kind of happening at once, and it all kind of happened here together. So what we're going to do, we have the kids in here with us today, so kids, welcome. Thank you guys for joining us. What's up? Yeah, normally, you guys are like, Pastor, you're trying too hard to be cool, and I am, I'm sorry. It's working, thanks Andy. All right, so what we're going to do to begin is just kind of have a little fun. This is our Calm Week. We always, at the end of a campaign, we have a Calm Week where we give our kids ministry volunteers a break, we bring the kids into service with us, and we celebrate and we worship together as a family. So we love these. We normally don't have a full sermon. Normally we do testimony time or something like that, but because this is Palm Sunday, I will be preaching kind of a pseudo sermon, like a half sermon, I guess, but it won't be quite as long. But to begin, at least engage the kids. My son Shiloh had a great idea this morning while we were down in the basement. He saw the basketball hoop and he's like, hey daddy, can we bring this up? And then the wheels started turning in my head because I was going to ask the kids some questions, but I didn't have any prizes. So your prize is going to be you can step into the front and take a shot, all right? In honor of March Madness and all the fun, okay? So first, like everybody in the rows, anybody within like a 15, 20 square feet radius, like, watch out, all right? So keep your head on a swivel as the shot is coming in, all right? So, kids, don't shout out the answer. I'm going to call on you, all right? But if I call on you, then you can say the answer, and if you get it right, you can come up and take a shot, all right? Depending on your age, I'll judge the distance, okay? I'll tell you to step back further or closer. Watch the ceiling height, and, okay, you can't get crazy arc on your shot. You got to keep it kind of a line drive, all right? So, a couple of questions here. Okay, first one is, this one's for the littler guys, all right? What do we celebrate on Easter? Little guys, give me a show of hands. I got James back there. James, what do you think, buddy? Yes, nailed it, dude. All right, James, come on up, buddy. Come on up, man. You want to take a shot? All right, for you, we'll put the line, like, right there. Maybe, yeah, go for it. Oh, so close, man. So close. Good shot, bud. Thank you, sir. So chaos does not ensue. I will keep control of the ball. what was my next one? Okay, this one, we can age range vary a little bit more. What do we celebrate on Good Friday? What do we remember on Good Friday, we could say? Mm-hmm. Cooper, you got it, dude. All right. Yes, Jesus' death on the cross. All right, Coop, take a shot, bud. Your step. You're going way back. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. All right. All right, go ahead, Coop. Hit it. Oh, man. The front end. Front end. That's what happens when you get nervous. You lose your legs a little bit. I get it. All right. Okay. This is a tricky one. What is the Thursday before Good Friday called? This one's going to be a deep pull if you guys know this. Adults, you guys can get in on this one too. Coop, are you looking it up right now? No, like Googling it really quick. All right. What's the Thursday before Good Friday called? No, Coop, you don't get another shot. Is that Aylor Lennon? Lennon? Holy Thursday, I will accept it. Yeah. The other is, if anybody know the other name for it, adults, you can get in on this too if you want. Maundy Thursday, yes. Maundy Thursday. And I had to look this one up too. Anyway, whatever. Okay. All right. Let's go right there. Hit it. Go! Oh, all right, good try. Ooh, the tech equipment is in danger. All right, I've got one more. Okay, what happened on Palm Sunday? Kids, this one's for you. What happened on Palm Sunday? Let's go. Lotus, you got it? Boom, nailed it. All right, come on up here. Are we betting 1,000? I think we betted 1,000. Well done, you guys. Hit it. Oh, good try. Good try. All right. Thanks, Sam. Okay. All right. That's all the questions that I got. So let's give the kids a round of applause. And Lincoln, would you mind moving that thing? All right. I opened a big can here. Okay. Thank you guys for the fun, participation, all of that. Thank you. That was a good time. All right. Now we are going to kind of just go into our normal sermon for today, and then we'll sing together, and then I'll come back up and apply it. And then after, in between services, we have a baptism. So if you want to hang around for a little bit, Amy's being baptized today. Amy, where are you? Say hi. Yeah. So we want to celebrate this as a church family. So we try to have these in between services so that everybody can be here and celebrate together. So if you want to hang around for a little bit, please just hang out in the lobby a little bit, and we'll call everybody back in, and we'll have a baptism, okay? Or you can hang out in the sanctuary. That's fine, too. All right, let's start with prayer, and then we'll go into the Word today. Father, Lord, we just praise you. Thank you for the joy, Lord, that comes this time of year around Easter with spring, and, Lord, the joy to be together as a church family. Lord, we know that in your presence is fullness of joy. So as we are experiencing goodness, as we experience laughter and joy together as a church, I pray, Lord, that you would point us to you as the source of our joy that is deep, that is abiding, and, Lord, that will remain forever. So, Lord, would you continue to produce that in the lives of your people as it is a fruit of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So we're wrapping up our campaign on resilient Christianity. We've been preaching through 1 Peter and going through that whole book. And the idea that we keep hitting on over and over again is that as the culture has shifted, for many of us as Christians, it feels like it shifted very quickly. But as the culture shifts away from generally accepting Christian values, virtues, truths, it feels like we have to live and engage with the culture in a different way. And what we need to do is develop this resilience. We need to develop a resilience of faith. And that's the theme that we've been hitting on over and over again. And as we talk about Palm Sunday today, that's one of the themes that we see most clearly identified, represented in Jesus, our Savior. In Luke chapter 9, we're going to read through the triumphal entry, Palm Sunday, through in Luke's gospel. But before we even get there, what we see in Luke chapter 9:51 is when the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Okay. So when we talk about resilience, this is Jesus being resilient. Setting one's face was an Old Testament idiom for somebody just being determined or resilient, resolved. So we see Jesus knowing what God's will is, knowing what awaits him in Jerusalem throughout these next 10 chapters. We're going to go to Luke 19 in just a minute. But throughout these 10 chapters, we see Jesus pointing them multiple times to what is going to happen in Jerusalem, that he's going to be crucified. Right? So he tells them this, but yet he knows it's happening and he still sets his face to do it. Jesus is so determined to do God's will that nothing will stop him. Even the pain, the suffering that awaits him in Jerusalem, he still resolves to go to Jerusalem and sets his face towards it. That's resilience. Doing God's will, no matter what, personal cost, okay, comes to you. And we see that in the life of Jesus. So for the next 10 chapters, Luke documents Jesus' journey, his path to Jerusalem. And now here, he like finally arrives. So this is like the celebration, like, woo, he's here. He has finally arrived, and that's the events of Palm Sunday. So we're going to read this. I have it in the New Living Translation. So kids, you guys, this should be understandable. It's in a little bit more modern English, and this translation just tries to bring out the main idea and not necessarily word for word. Okay. So it says, after telling this story, Jesus went on toward Jerusalem, walking ahead of his disciples. As he came to the towns of Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples ahead, Go into that village over there, he told them. As you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, why are you untying that colt? Just say, the Lord needs it. So they went and found the colt just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners asked them, why are you untying that colt? And the disciples simply replied, the Lord needs it. So they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it for him to ride on. As he rode along, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. When he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in highest heaven. But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying these things like that. He replied, if they keep quiet, the stones along the road will burst into cheers. But as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep. How I wish today that you, of all people, would understand the way to peace. But now it is too late, and peace is hidden from your eyes. Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close in on you from every side. They will crush you into the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place because you did not recognize it when God visited you. All right, so let's walk through this text a little bit. I'll just make a few comments, then we'll worship together. Okay, so this is the events of Palm Sunday. Jesus, he's going to Jerusalem. He's walking ahead with his disciples, comes into these two towns, and he sends the two disciples ahead of him, and he rides in on a donkey. Okay, so this whole scene, think of it as like a king riding into his city after a conquest. That's the image that the gospel writers are painting of this. But instead of Jesus riding in on a war horse, he's riding in on a donkey. Okay, he's riding in as a humble leader, our servant king. What he's doing is fulfilling Zechariah's prophecy from Zechariah 9:9, which says, Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Okay, Jesus knows this prophecy. The Pharisees, the people, the Jewish people, even his disciples of the city of Jerusalem, they knew this prophecy. So everybody knows what's happening here. Okay, this is Jesus declaring himself to be the Messiah. And it's not so subtle, okay? At least in their world, it's not so subtle. But in our world, where we don't quite get the images as much, he's declaring himself to be the king and the Messiah. Now, they had a lot of misconceptions about what the Messiah meant, but Jesus will clarify those later. And he had for his closest disciples over the course of his ministry. So that's why he sends them ahead to find a donkey and for him to ride in on it. He's fulfilling this prophecy. He's declaring himself to be the king. So he sends them ahead. As you enter it, you see this young donkey. No one has ever ridden it. Untie it, bring it here. He's fulfilling that prophecy from Zechariah. And it's likely that Jesus was familiar with these folks because Bethany is the place where Jesus, where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived. Okay, so this is where he raised Lazarus from the dead. And Jesus spent a lot of time there. And so he likely was familiar with them. So when they said the Lord needs it, they would say, okay, it's Jesus. That was even a cultural thing of the day. So it wouldn't be that out of order for Jesus to ask or something like that. So they went and they found the colt just as Jesus had said. So again, that line is so important that it's just as Jesus has said. He knew what's coming. So he's revealing to his disciples, he's revealing to everybody that he's not surprised by the events that are about to take place on Friday. He's not surprised by the events that are going to take place on Sunday of next week, that he knows what's about to happen. The disciples simply replied, the Lord needs it. They let him go. They brought the colt to Jesus. They threw their garments over it. Again, this is in other gospels, they describe the palm branches, waving palm branches, which was like a symbol, again, of a kingly entry. It had like revolutionary overtones, nationalistic overtones, like our king is here, is the celebration that they're having. But again, don't miss the point. Jesus is riding in on a donkey too. So he's humble. He's not like our conquering king in the sense of a warlord. He's our humble servant king. It's all foreshadowing the fact that Jesus is going to humble himself to the cross, and the cross is his ultimate enthronement. So he's risen up to not his throne, the cross, right? And the cross is the means by which Jesus rises to the throne. You notice here that the crowd was likely they didn't fully get it yet, okay, is kind of what this reveals. So remember, this is the crowd that had seen Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. So they're like, all right, like, it's happening. This guy's got power. This guy's awesome. Like, he's our king. We're celebrating. But they probably didn't fully grasp the fact that Jesus is God, and that's understandable at this point. They didn't grasp the method of salvation that God was going to deliver them. It was through the cross, not through this conquering Messiah, king, warlord picture that they have. Because it says that they were praising God just for all the wonderful miracles that they had seen. So what Luke is indicating here is they, just like the group that followed Jesus after he fed the 5,000, they're like, all right, let's see what else you can do for us. And then when Jesus says, I'm the bread of life, and they all leave after that. So this group is following Jesus largely because they're like, oh man, this guy's done some really cool stuff. So they're just following. The jury isn't clear in their mind yet. It's not made up yet for them. So they're just following him for all the miracles that he had seen. There's a quote from Psalm 118, 26. And there, Jesus is the king who's riding into Jerusalem. Then in verse 39, we see some of the Pharisees among the crowd saying, teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like this. They're likely concerned that the Romans are going to hear this. They're going to recognize a lot of the kingly images, right, that are taking place here. And the governor is going to be like, we got to put an end to this, right, before this guy starts threatening the power of Rome and Caesar. If he thinks he's a king, let's, like, squash this rebellion right away before it gets going. So the Pharisees, they're probably like, hey, guys, let's nip this in the bud now, was their thinking. But then Jesus says, if they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers. Jesus is saying, hey, creation identifies me as king. All of creation knows that I'm the king. That's not in question. What's in question is our reaction to Jesus as king and the reaction of the people to Jesus as the king who is riding into his city. And this is a curious part. Okay, this is a cheerful setting. People are praising, they're glorifying God. Jesus is the king riding into his city. And instead of being joyous, Jesus like standing up at the city gate and delivering an epic speech and riling up the crowd and everybody getting going, right? That's what we would expect. But instead, Jesus weeps. He weeps for them. And he weeps because he knows that he will be rejected as their king by their leaders. That whereas some had accepted him, some had just been following him because of the miracles, the leaders are going to reject him and turn him over to be crucified. And that is what leads him to weep. They do not acknowledge Jesus as their king. And then Jesus predicts what's going to happen in AD 70, about 35 years after this, that the temple is going to be destroyed, that the Romans are going to invade Jerusalem, Israel. They are going to besiege the city, and they're going to overtake it and destroy it. And since that day, the temple has never been rebuilt. Interestingly, right? That after Jesus, the Messiah, the King, God in flesh, after he sends the Holy Spirit at Pentecost to his people, the church, who become the temple of the Holy Spirit, that the temple has never been rebuilt, that God has never moved yet to rebuild the temple because he has done something different in Jesus, something new in him. And after seeing this and weeping over it, and Jesus says, why is this judgment coming? He gives us the indication here. He says it's because you did not recognize it when God visited you. That God, Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, God in flesh, was here And the people who had the Old Testament, who had all the prophecies of the Messiah, everybody who should know Jesus and identify God when he's standing right in front of you, they rejected him. And they turned him over to the Romans to be crucified. They should have worshiped, and yet they rejected him. And so this causes Jesus to weep at the judgment that will come because of that. So here's our big idea. Band, you guys can come and get set up. Big idea is that Jesus is the king of all creation, right? If the people were quiet, the rocks will cry out. Creation knows that Jesus is the king. Remember, this is a triumphal entry of the king riding into his city. The images of a king after a war who is successful, he's won. He's riding back into his city to this shouts and processional of glory and honor. Jesus rides into this city, but he doesn't deliver this big speech and rile up the crowd. No, he weeps because he is the king. It's not in question of him being the king or not. What is in question, though, is how the people will respond to their king when their king arrives. So that's the application, and we will apply it and talk through it a little more detail when I come back up. For now, let's pray, and then we will worship God together. Lord, God, we just exalt you. We praise you. Jesus, you are the king of all the earth. We just acknowledge that. And Lord, we as your people want to just worship you as such and praise you as such. For you, Lord, are not just, Lord, our concept of the Messiah. In the first century, their concept of the Messiah was just too small. Lord, you have expanded it. You have made it so much more. You are so much more glorious, so much more awesome than we could have ever known. You are God in flesh who has visited your people. And Lord, it is only proper for us to worship and honor and glorify your name. It's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Knowing the suffering that awaited you in Jerusalem, you still set your face towards it. You still rode in humbly on a donkey. Even though you are the king of all creation, you humbled yourself to life on this earth. You humbled yourself to the cross. You entrusted yourself to your faithful creator, to the one who judges justly. And Father, you vindicated Jesus on Easter Sunday by raising him from the dead. So Lord, help us as your people to follow in your steps, to set our face towards your will, to do what is right according to your word, to follow your will for our life, Jesus, with resilience, with courage, and trusting ourselves to you who judge justly, knowing, Lord, that even if not in this life, vindication awaits us in eternity with you. So Lord, would you make your people resilient today? In Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can have a seat. All right, so here's our big idea. It's real simple. Jesus is the king of all creation. How will you respond to him is the question. Just like in the triumphal entry, there were different responses to Jesus as king. There are different responses to Jesus as king today. Now, to be clear, all right, what is not in question is whether or not Jesus is king. What is in question is how you respond to the king, okay? And whether you accept the king or reject the king. Okay, Jesus says even the rocks will cry out, right? Creation recognizes the king of all creation. It identifies him. How literal Jesus was speaking there, I don't know. But creation recognizes Jesus as king. All of creation declares the glory of the Lord. Will you is the question. You can either fight against it and live against the order of creation, or you can go in line with it. It makes life maybe not easier in the way that we think about it, but it gives us peace in our inner life. Even through the difficulties and the trials, it is the better way to live in line with creation and accepting the reality and the truth of it, that Jesus is king over it, and submitting to his lordship in your life as well as his lordship over all creation. We can kick against the goads, but that doesn't go so well, right? All right. Yeah, I'd have to explain that reference because that doesn't make sense today for us. Yeah, a horse can resist its direction and its goading, right? Or a cattle can resist the direction of its goading, but it just kind of leads to more prodding. And that's not good for yourself, right? Does that make sense? Okay. All right. The ways that we can respond to Jesus is, number one, rejection. This is the part of the Pharisees. They rejected Jesus. They, the ones who should have identified the Messiah, they should have known that this is their king from the Old Testament scriptures because they knew that so well, but they still just rejected him. They still would not accept him. If you notice in the text, they call him teacher, whereas all the people are calling him king. Right? They hadn't recognized him as their king, and they failed to do so. They rejected him. And note Jesus' response to their rejection. He weeps. He weeps at the rejection of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Why does he weep? Because, as he will say, literally, he's predicting will happen, and he knows will happen, that the Romans will come and destroy Jerusalem. He's weeping for the judgment that will come upon them. Jesus sees what rejection of him does. He saw what it would do literally in the material world for the people of Israel in Jerusalem. Their rejection meant judgment would come in the form of the Romans in destroying Jerusalem and the temple. But spiritually, it's the same for us today. If we reject Jesus, we are putting ourselves under the wrath of God, and judgment awaits us in eternity. We experience that even now when God removes his presence from us in the deterioration of our soul, and we don't experience peace and love and joy and hope. Instead, we experience fear. We experience worry. We feel hopeless and lost. And Jesus weeps at that because we are still under the judgment of God. And belief in Jesus and what he did on the cross is the only way for us to escape that judgment of God. And as he says, he's praying, if only you guys would recognize the way to peace. If only you guys would see that the way to peace is to accept me, as Jesus is saying as he rides into Jerusalem. The same holds true today. The way to peace with God is through belief in Jesus and through trusting in him. And if we don't put our faith in Jesus and his atoning sacrifice on the cross that takes our sin upon himself so that we can go free, we are still under the judgment of God. And Jesus weeps over that, as we should as well. It's a terrible plight to be under the judgment of God. And so if that's you today and you've rejected Jesus and you don't believe in Jesus, I encourage you to put your faith and trust in him to escape the judgment of God, to be at peace, to recognize the timing of your visitation, that Jesus is God in flesh, the one who has redeemed us and set us free. You can pray a simple prayer. Say, Jesus, I believe in you, that you have taken my sin upon yourself and that you have died on the cross in my place so that I can be free. And I surrender my life to you as Lord and King. And if you want to pray that prayer while we're singing next, Helen is in the back. Go receive prayer with Helen and pray with her. She would love to pray with you to receive Jesus. Stop rejecting Jesus as your king. He's the king of all creation. You can live in line with it or you can fight against it. It'll go much better for you if you accept it and live in line with it. Because it really doesn't do us good to fight against the way of the universe, right? And the truth. Truth proves very pesky. It keeps hard to resist, right? I once talked to a guy who said, I'm not remembering exactly the way that he said it, but essentially he said, I'm not going to get old, right? And what he meant was, I'm going to keep working out, I'm going to keep eating right, I'm going to keep doing all the things that I know that I can do to delay age as long as possible. That's what he meant by that. But the way he said it was very like determined to not get old. And when he said it, I'm like, I don't know, man. I feel like that's a losing battle. Like, I think age is pretty undefeated, right? And at some point, like, you're going to have to accept it. That age, you can't do the same things that you used to be able to do, right? Like, I can't dunk a basketball anymore. I can't do the things that I used to be able to do, right? Age will find you. And if you keep rejecting it, you're just living in a delusional life, as so many of us want to do. We want to live in delusions instead of accepting the truth and living according to it. Jesus is king. You can accept the truth and live according to it, or you can reject it and fight against it. Those are your options. The other options are being open to it, this openness. As we see on the part of a lot of the people who are following Jesus, they didn't quite get it yet, but they're like, all right, we saw some cool stuff from this guy, so we're going to keep following him, and we're going to celebrate when he comes in, because this is pretty awesome. Like, he raised somebody from the dead. That's wild. Right, so they just keep following him, and they just stay with Jesus, right? That's a picture of discipleship. So if you're like not sure about Jesus, but you're actually open to it, keep following him. Keep reading about him in scripture. Keep talking with people who know Jesus and say, who is this guy? And try to figure it out. Approach it with an open mind and say, is he the king of all creation? Is he the Messiah? Is he God who visited us on earth? Did he really die on the cross in my place and take my sins upon himself? Is this story too good to be true, right? And just keep following. Keep asking those good questions and openly following Jesus. At some point, though, you will come to the cross. The moment of decision, the point of determination, am I going to follow Jesus and surrender everything to him or not? In the gospel stories, Luke gives us this picture of discipleship. The moment of decision is the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. Is he who he claimed to be or not? And if he is, then that means, and you've decided that, that means that he is Lord of your life, that he is king of all creation, and so you surrender everything to him and follow him as your Lord. There will come that moment of decision. If you're not there yet, keep following. But at that moment, don't miss it, and surrender and follow Jesus with all of your life and walk in line with the order of creation. Oop, did the last one show up? Okay, the last one is acceptance. To accept him, to believe in him, to trust in him for your salvation, to rejoice that he is king of all creation and live in line with it. Surrendering your will to his moment by moment, day by day, and following him wholeheartedly and experiencing the peace that that brings of walking in line with the order of creation, with the God of the universe, with your king and your savior. So if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then we worship, just as the crowd did as Jesus was riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. We worship him as the King, as our Savior, as our Lord, as our God, as we were doing here today. Just keep worshiping, keep praising him and following him with all of your heart, even if it leads to the cross. As we walk through Holy Week, try to imagine what the disciples were thinking and feeling. Okay, so as they're looking back, they say, oh, I see. Like, Jesus told us to go get the donkey, and it happened exactly as he said it would. He knew what was happening. But in the moment, I don't know that they quite got it, right? They probably didn't foresee Jesus as the suffering servant, the Savior who's going to die on the cross and through the cross redeem all of creation, right? While Jesus is hanging on the cross, they're like, uh-oh, this is our guy. We thought he was our guy. And then on Saturday, before they knew that he was rising from the dead, they had to be in the throes of despair. Now what? What's next? Only to be full of joy at the encounter with the resurrected Jesus. So just keep following Jesus. Keep worshiping Jesus. Keep surrendering to his plan, even if you don't see it. Many of you are in a moment in life right now where you're like, I don't see it, God. I don't know what you're doing here, but I'm going to keep being obedient, and I'm just going to keep following you. That's all you need to know for today. You may not have the next steps fully laid out for you, but just keep being obedient and keep following Jesus and remaining close to him, and he'll lead you. And someday you'll see this is what God was doing. Lord, we thank you for your word that gives us so much hope and peace as we believe in you. Lord, just pray that your spirit would move in our hearts to receive you, Jesus, to accept you as our King, to not reject you, Lord, to find the hope and the peace of walking in the light of the truth, that you are King of all creation. And Lord, for those who are openly pursuing you, just following you to see who you are, would you guide them by your Spirit, Lord, into the truth? That when they come to that moment of decision, that Jesus, they will see you as you really are, as the glorious one, the King, God in flesh, who died in the greatest act of love to save and redeem us, your people. So Lord, we thank you. And for those of us who have accepted you and trust you, we worship you. And in doing so, we find peace. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.